Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
I'm Robert Nicolesco.
And today is October 18th, 2021. And get prepared for a spooky episode. The first spooky episode of the season. We'll probably do one more spooky episode.
We can fit it in before the end of the month.
Sure can.
Yeah, it's the spooky time of year. I've been watching horror movies and drawing spooky stuff.
Oh yeah,
how's some your, Evil Dead art
Inktober going?
Good. I haven't missed any days like outright, which is more than I've ever done before. So
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I did Evil Dead last night.
Nice. We watched Evil Dead 2 at the brewery last night.
Oh well, there you go. While I was drawing it.
Yeah, we were watching it.
Yeah, I drew Ted Raimi in the basement.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
Dead by Dawn.
What else? Oh, Halloween Kills came out. Did you watch that?
No. I do want to see that, though.
It's not good.
No? Oh, okay. Well, I'm still going to see it.
It's free on Peacock, I think, for the rest of the week. So if you want to watch it for free... Oh.
Maybe
recommend that, not paying for it.
Okay. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll see.
Yeah. I watched a better movie, though. We were very glad that we made this decision. We went and saw Lamb at the Shattuck, and then at night we watched Halloween Kills for free on Peacock. Good decision making, I think, on that part. Lamb is that
double day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Norwegian film with Noomi Rampace. And it's better to go in completely blank, like not knowing anything about it. But some people are complaining like that it's not like a real horror film because it's like an A24, you know, independent movie. So it's
like, well, that's what new horror is to many people, to be honest. Not that it is what horror is, but to a whole generation, A24 horror is the stuff.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like The Witch or those type of movies where it's making...
I love The Witch.
Yeah, The Witch was great. Or The Lighthouse, you know, without the same director of The Witch. And it makes you uncomfortable and it's not like a jump scare. It's not going to be like The Conjuring, obviously. It's
definitely good.
Has more of the human element in it. And it's about the characters, not people jumping out at you and exorcisms and all of that. Highly recommend Lamb. It was great. Maybe one of my favorite movies this year.
Cool.
Yeah.
You haven't watched anything new, so.
Okay.
Not exciting. Old stuff, though. Old stuff's always good.
I don't know. Definitely.
Stuff I haven't seen. I don't know. But yeah, what have we... There's been some news, some comics coming out. What do you want to get to first?
Let's get to the one that hasn't come out since, I think, April 16th, 2017 was the last issue of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It is back. Robert Aguesa Sacara. No, I said that wrong. Aguera Sacasa. He's been real busy in the world of TV, making The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina for Netflix and Riverdale for the CW. Oh. So he is finally back writing again with Robert Hack. And yeah, we finally get a new issue, issue number 9 of Sabrina. So
did Aguirre Sacasa, did he write the first 8 issues, and did he also do the Archie stuff? Or
yeah, he did. Well, he just did Sabrina. I think he did some of the Riverdale issues as well, but he started The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which then immediately got picked up for TV along with Riverdale. And he was a showrunner on both of those. So, and wrote a bunch of the episodes too. And Riverdale is still going, but Sabrina's done on Netflix. So I think that's why he could finally get back to this. And what I do wish is on Sabrina, the show, is that they follow this storyline closer, because it's so much better than the show. They took some of the elements, you know, from this, like Madam Satan, and you know, her aunts and everything being actually evil, but a lot of it was changed, unfortunately. It just wasn't as dark as this. So like where we left off in 2017. In issue number 4, actually, that's when Harvey was killed during a ritual basically gone awry, and Madam Satan was basically meddling in all of this the entire time. So then back in issue number 8, she helps Sabrina resurrect Harvey, and instead of bringing Harvey's soul back, she brings Edward Spellman back, who's Sabrina's dad. And Sabrina's dad is quite evil. And originally, way back in the day, in the early days of Glendale, Madam Satan and Edward were lovers. And then Edward betrayed her and sends her to hell. And because he's in love
with her. And left her for a human.
Yeah, left her for a human, which is Sabrina's mother. So Madam Satan has been spending all this time in hell plotting her revenge. So basically that's kind of where we are now. is Madam Satan has come back for her revenge and has been plotting against Sabrina in the last 8 issues of the comic. So now we are.
Well,
so you hadn't read any of the 8 issues before, right?
I have read no Archie horror whatsoever. I have not seen any of the shows or anything. I mean, I've been aware of it since they started doing that, but no, I haven't read any of it. Yeah. Reading this though, I mean, I'm into it. It's cool. I definitely feel like I'm missing stuff. Well, I know I am, but it's still like a cool, intriguing world. And Sabrina's life is pretty fucked up.
Oh yeah.
So your boyfriend died. He's being possessed by your evil dad, and your teacher is possessed by your dad's ex, who's also evil.
Yep.
And then your dad's out there banging other 16-year-olds possessing.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I was like, whoa, okay, well, this guy's definitely older.
Uh-huh.
Well, he is evil. He is evil.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that the aunts were evil. They just seemed like, you know, very dry witches, but they don't really do much in this issue.
Yeah, they don't do much in this issue, but they do murder people as well. And they're like constantly pushing Sabrina like towards the evil witchy life. They're not as evil as some of the other witches, but like nobody's like really good in this comic.
Yeah.
Sabrina is pretty bad a lot of times. So
I mean, she's talking about killing a guy.
Yeah.
Someone who deserves it, but right. That is her deciding for someone else, like, oh, well, you deserve to die.
Yeah. And I think that's why when the show came on, I didn't like it as much, because in this comic, they actually made Sabrina, you know, she wasn't as innocent, I guess I should say. And then they cast whatever her name is in the show. And she was just like too bubbly and like too pretty and like too, yeah, she wasn't right from this comic. And yeah, I just didn't like her at all.
Because they were probably looking to this and the Melissa Joan Hart stuff as well, right? Exactly, like, yeah. I'm sure they were both influences.
Definitely, yeah.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah. So I love this comic. I'm so happy that it's back. Looks like Sabrina's going to get in some more trouble with demons like she has in the past. Everyone's going to be out to kill her. I'm really, really excited to finally get an end to this series, which we've been waiting for the past 4 years. this was a huge seller too.
Yeah, it's...
Which was always like...
I remember when it was like around.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's dark. It looks great. I like the way it looks. It reads good. The clarity is there the whole time. It's funny. Yeah. It's not like ha-ha, laugh out loud funny, but it's charming, amusing, funny.
Yeah.
And it has like a dry wit to it, I guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Like the whole book seems to have that.
Yeah. And yeah, Robert Hack.
I would read more of this for sure.
Oh yeah. And Robert Hack is just an amazing artist too. And the colors he uses, it makes it look like an old pulp comic. Like he's just so different in his style. This comic looks like no other comic, which is really, really cool.
It has the brush strokes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm getting in detailed on it, but the brush strokes that he puts over like everything, and like there's a lot of open panel borders where like the art's allowed to just bleed on the page. Yeah. Like that, it's almost like the paint is running and stuff. And it does add to this whole like sort of magic effect thing.
Do you think he does real colors, or do you think this is digital?
I don't know. I think it's probably something of both.
Yeah.
I mean, because this like paint effect, if I was going to do something like this, I would finish the completed art. I would do the paint brush effect on another sheet, scan it, and then like overlay it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it might be something like that where it's like mixed media, but they're putting it together digitally. So you have the actual control.
Right.
Because it seems very clean. It seems difficult that this would be done full traditional.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't really know.
Like,
but it,
definitely
I mean,
like a stain over it, like some kind of like digital like stain effect over the entire panels. But there has to be some kind of paint effect, or like it has to be, right? Like a watercolor almost. That's what it looks like to me.
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely some of each, some of all of it. Yeah. Because it is one, it's one artwork by Robert Hack. So it's like, it's all one guy.
Yeah.
And what artist today, and what artist today doesn't work digitally on some level?
Right. I mean, absolutely.
Simon Hanselman, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, not many.
Yeah. I think like Dustin Nguyen, I think he's one that does that. And that's pretty. And like Tyler Crook, maybe. Like, that's pretty much it. Well, welcome back, Sabrina.
Yeah, and then like the old guys.
Yeah, the old guys.
Yeah.
All right, next up in our spooky episodes, we're going to space, sort of, with ETER. This is another AWA upshot with Jeff McComsey, Dan Panosian, Javier Polito, Sean Crystal, and Jean-Francois Boulay.
Yeah.
below.
So it's a ETER has two stories in it. The first one is the walk-ins. This is a beefy issue. I counted the pages. The first story is 34 pages of art, and then the second story is 10 pages. There's a backup. And then the first one is written by Jeff McComsey and drawn by Javier Pulido. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, the bulk of this issue. It was a pretty cool story. I mean, obviously it looks awesome. Pulido just draws so clean and beautiful. I've always really liked his style. But the story is about Dr. Chen, who witnesses a car collision while she's in the parking lot of her hospital that she works at. And as she's trying to like save this guy who got hit, all these weird looking nurses come out and they're like, "We got it from here." And she's like, "No, you don't. I'm a doctor. I'm going to go to surgery with you. Like, we got to take care of this." And they're like, no, we'll go downstairs. And she's like, "What are you talking about? There's no downstairs." And then they kind of like shock her and then take her downstairs. And then you realize like below the hospital is an alien ER, ETER. Right.
Very like Men in Black vibes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. It was like, you're on top of a normal building. Take this special elevator, which takes you to the alien. Like I absolutely was thinking MIB.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was cool. The whole time, that's what I was just thinking. I was like, oh, it's like Men in Black, but with doctors. Like literally, it's just a complete crossover.
Yeah.
I do love the style. I was glad to see Pulido back. I don't think he's done like an actual full series since She-Hulk. And it was like kind of like the same kind of story too as like a Men in Black comic or movie where, you know, there's like a giant space alien that they haven't seen before. And if they don't like get a handle on what it is, that he's going to like self-destruct kind of.
Yeah. And another blow up the entire planet.
Yeah, his head will play. Yeah, he's a planet smasher, right?
Yeah. And I think also in that like Men in Black sort of thing, the solution is to, no matter what you're confronted with, to treat this thing like how you would want to be treated. So Planet Crusher is like needs to basically have its appendix removed. Yeah. And they're all freaking out and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And then at the end, after they like, she calmed everything down, they're like, "How did you know to do that?" And I wrote it down because it's a good quote. "I gambled that we aren't the only organisms in the universe that need a little respect and compassion when we're sick."
Right.
And it's like she used proper bedside manner and where it was able to save the world, which, I mean, it's a small little story, but I think it works for this story, and especially one that's confronting, you know, the medical industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which like, is fucked.
Definitely. Yeah. And even on the front of the comic, it's like of true universal healthcare. Like they're actually, they're confronting.
Yeah.
Too. Like what would we do with true universal healthcare? Just treating aliens from all over the place, actual aliens.
Yeah, and this is like, for me, a good way, I think, to tell a message comic. Because this isn't hitting you over the head with any of these like real world, you know, horrible things that are going on in the medical industry. But like, I feel like that quote that I read sums up like, well, that's what we would all want for our healthcare. Like, you know, to just be treated with respect and compassion instead of like, oh, you're not sick. You're just trying to get money. You're just trying to get insurance. Like, you know, all the millions of stories that people have.
Yeah.
This does a good job, I think, of making a good analogy. You can still have fun with the comic,
right?
But also maybe think about the real world.
Right. So, what I thought was like comparing this to like Frontiersman, which, you know, like had a message about what's going on in the world. Like this actually does it in a fun way compared to just like hitting you over the head with a message that's just like, please stop pounding me with these, you know?
And
this one just makes it fun. I also enjoyed this. And again, the style is really cool. And then the backup story, I actually thought this was, it said like, they have like an ad for like Marjorie Finnegan. And I was like, and then it goes right into that story.
Yeah. I don't know if that's it. Not quite.
Not quite. Yeah.
This one's called Hard Pill. It was weird. I mean, it's like a little, it's short, it's harmless. You read it in like 30 seconds. I mean, I don't feel like it was anything to, I don't have much to say about it. It's just, you know, this person has to get shrunk down, go inside of a pill, go inside of the body of an alien, battle a bunch of disease, and then comes out through the poop.
Yeah.
At the end.
Okay.
And then at the end, they're like, man, you're too damn good, you know? Uh-huh. And he's like, too damn something, you know, as he's covered in shit.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe the message there is like what doctors have to put up with, you know? Like, I don't know.
Gross. All right. Well.
Yeah. The first part was awesome though. Walk-ins by McCombsy and Polito was really good.
Cool. All right. Well, after AWA, just keep putting out quality books. Okay. So next up we have Soul Plumber from DC Horror. And this is by the guys who do the last podcast on the left. If you guys aren't familiar with that, they've been doing a podcast since 2011. It's like a comedy, true crime podcast. So basically they just do, you know, stuff on slasher, cult, serial killers. And now they're getting into comics. So yeah, I had no idea what this comic was going to be like. I thought it would be more like serial killer stuff or something, because that's what they usually talk about on their podcasts. But this was not that at all.
Religion.
Religion. It really reminded me of like Garth Ennis a little bit, like the style of writing. And I'm sure they had another comic guy help them out a little bit, but it's just Marcus Parks, Henry Zebrowski, and Ben Kissel.
The story, and then only two of them did the actual writing, it says.
And then penciled by John McCree and PJ Holden.
It looks good. It's a strange, weird looking, honestly, like if you were showing this to me, I would be like, there's no way this is like a DC book.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's so weird.
Yeah. Well, it looks like a Vertigo book. And that's what like their DC horror stuff is now. Or Black Label. That's what Vertigo turned into. They just relabeled it, repackaged it. That's what we're getting now. I really like this book as well. We had some good books this week. It's basically a guy working at a convenience store. He's definitely very religious. And then we get kind of like the tent pastor or reverend, you know, the guys that you see on TV or, you know, out in the middle of nowhere.
He sees his vehicle.
Yeah.
His crazy Jesus van, which is, he sees salvation in this.
Right.
And everyone's seen these vehicles where it's like quotes from the Bible scrawled all over a vehicle and honk for Jesus and like, you know, also political messages wrapped up in there, I'm sure. But
oh, yeah, definitely.
Maybe not this one, but
yeah.
God writes shotgun. Only Satan hands out parking tickets.
And he, God. So he goes to the religious ceremony or tent. Like, it's not a ceremony.
Preaching.
What is this called?
I don't know. I mean, but it's in the like, you know, lobby or one of the rooms at a hotel or a motel.
Yeah.
It's just like in, you know, it, this is, seems very middle America.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he meets this guy who he met at the gas station at night. Now this guy's all decked out in his glowing Holy Cross garb. He apologized to him. He's like, I'm sorry I didn't have my hair. Mm-hmm. His nice mullet.
Yeah, he's got a sweet, sweet mullet. And he's, yeah, but he's wearing like a light up Jesus or like cross suit.
Yeah.
So like a complete showman, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. And, taking advantage of people.
Yeah. And he's got a machine with him that's called the Spirit Plunger. And this is like when we really get into the story. And he's performing an exorcism. And it's a, which, it's a crazy exorcism.
But it's not real. I mean, the, yeah, the person
we
being...
We don't know that like right away. Like,
sure.
Looks like it's possibly real. But he says, like, demon, tell me your name. And the guy says he's Legion. So obviously one of the most like easiest things to like pull out of anywhere. And it looks like he's pulling an actual demon out of this character. And then our main protagonist is like super excited. He wants to like join up right away. And of course this is obviously a scam, it turns out. And the guy just wants like money from everybody. Kid doesn't have any money, so he just like sends him away with like some shitty pamphlets
about, yeah, because the kid wants to be a soul plumber. He wants to start exercising people, he believes. And I just love the position that this comic puts you in, because it's like our main character is sad and kind of just despicable. The right. people we're meeting are sad and despicable, or just despicable. Like, I don't, there's nobody here that I'm like, yeah, this person's awesome.
Right.
Like the people who come into his gas station, who he wants to save, they're like clearly been on drugs. There's the Vietnam vet that he knows who doesn't have a nose, who kept his, he didn't want it surgically fixed because he wanted people to remember what he did in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So a guy just walking around with a skeleton nose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he has like his buddy Scuzz, who comes in, who's obviously a meth addict. Yeah. It's quite the characters in this, which is great because he's definitely building a world that's pretty fucked up and like really gets you into the story. First time writers, like that's the way you want to do it. So yeah, that the guy like totally turns him down. And he just sends him on his way with all these pamphlets. So we get back outside the hotel and there's literally just like a booklet in the van called Top Secret Plans for Soul Plumber 7.
Yeah.
And the kid steals the ideas. And they're also having a conversation out there, basically saying that the soul plumber is fake. They can never get it to work. But this kid thinks he can make it work. So he goes to the junkyard and builds his own soul plumber. Meanwhile, he also sees demons, I guess, too. There's like a demon dog in the junkyard. This is where it starts getting a little different. Like maybe this kid is the real deal.
Or he's so totally like
crazy,
twisted by his own religious like fantasies that he is seeing demons everywhere.
Yes.
I'm more inclined to think that rather than this comic is going to result in being like, actually, all that Jesus stuff. It's correct.
Yeah. Right.
But I don't know. I don't honestly know where it is going.
Yeah, I don't either. Because he builds this machine, ends up using it on somebody.
On Scuzz.
On Scuzz, yeah. And pulls a demon out of him, right?
But yeah, he actually does.
The thing he builds is made out of like a toilet and like just weird junkyard parts. And then you kind of see him like pull this demon out, and I'm not sure if it's just like plasma and, or is that actual blood? Like, who knows like what it actually is?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm very interested. I'm definitely going to read the second issue. I want to know like what he's actually doing, if he's murdering people or if that is the real deal.
Yeah. And no, they did a really good job. I didn't know that these were first time creators. So definitely props to that. Cause this, I mean, it does feel like a town that they would roll up in Preacher. It also feels like Stray Bullets to me, like the scummy nature of all the people.
Oh yeah.
Feels very Stray Bullets, like just how there's all these cast of characters and you see them small interactions that sort of give you a good idea of actually the full world that they're in. They did a great job of doing that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, they're really good storytellers. Obviously their podcast is huge. It's been around forever. So it's not too surprising that they could like put this together, you know.
Sure.
We're definitely not having like another comic creator, because usually, you know, it's like they made the concept and then a comic writer came on and put it all together for them. But the fact that they didn't do that, like, good job to them, you know.
And it is hard to switch mediums, you know. I mean, you're probably going to be better off if you're a good writer in another medium, but like comics are a specific thing. Pacing is hard to figure out. So I do think it's a great job that they did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Soul Plumber,
number one. Right.
One of six.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a six issue series. I think a lot of the DC horror is just like small series, which is great.
Love it. One trade. Love it. You need another, make another.
Yeah. All right. Lastly, we have, which I think is one of the best books this week for sure, the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this came out last week. This is A Righteous Thirst for Vengeance, Rick Remender and Andre Lima Araujo. And this is a new book from Image Comics.
Yeah. Is Giant Generator, is that Rick Remender's little thing?
Yeah, that's his.
Okay.
Yeah, his oh my god, brain. You know what I mean.
Imprint.
Thank you. I was like, it was coming to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Amazing.
So good. And so different for Rick too. Usually, I mean, we love Rick Remender. Obviously, he's put out some amazing books, but there are so many less words in this comic that he usually fills up all of the space. And obviously he's telling the story through the art and the panel layout and everything. But this is just very, very different than what we're used to.
Definitely. I mean, I would also say no shame on any of the other artists, but like this is the closest to realism I've ever seen with a Rick Remender, and not just in like, oh, these people look realistic, like it looks like a real world. It's crazy looking.
It's beautiful and disturbing.
We are gonna spoil this issue. I don't know how there's so I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a ton of twists and turns as this series continues, but if you don't want, you know, this spoiled, maybe skip ahead 10 minutes or go get it and then come back.
Exactly. Yeah. So basically, we're definitely going to spoil it, but I'm not actually entirely sure what's going on yet either. Cause it's definitely going to be like a mystery as well. So even if we're spoiling this, like, we don't know what's happening yet either. So
definitely.
As well. So this takes place in Vancouver. Our main protagonist, it seems like a nice guy, sort of. Maybe. We'll see.
He seems like a nice guy who's trying.
He's definitely trying. Yeah.
And then some stuff happens to him, you know, But he lets those old people on the bus first because it's raining, you know, and then he doesn't get too mad that he gets rained on because her umbrella won't shut, you know, like that is all there to show us that, yes, he is a nice guy.
Right. And so the main thing is he keeps checking his phone. Like he's on his way. He's on his way somewhere. He has like a map on his phone and he's going to somewhere like pretty far away. He's taking a bus there. And during his journey, he like goes to stop for cigarettes at this market. And he runs into a guy there, little creepy. He knocks into him and all this stuff falls out of this guy's bag containing like Drano or alcohol, something with like lemons on, light bulbs and duct tape.
And condoms.
Oh, and condoms. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's alcohol. Yeah. All those, all definitely normal things to buy.
Totally normal things to buy all together in the same bag.
Yeah.
Pretty weird.
But he runs into that guy, which yeah. I've been re-looking at it. It's like, it looks like the guy sees him. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, after finding out what's happened, I'm like questioning, like, did this guy do this on purpose? Did he know? Is this a coincidence? What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
But he runs into this guy in the store and knocks his shit everywhere.
Right.
And the guy is mad. He yells at him. He's like, Jesus Christ, watch where you're going. And then he immediately apologizes. It's been a shit day.
Right. Yeah, the way he like looks at him too, he's just like, you know, like immediately backs off, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, does he know who this guy is? Like, I don't know.
Like, yeah,
creepy guy. And yeah, they have some words, and then the guy, he just, you know, walks off. It's fine. Everything's fine. And then he continues to buy his cigarettes, goes back to wait for the bus. This creepy, like, weird scene happens with this pigeon. Poor dying pigeon.
Yeah,
you have to read this like to get what's going on
with
it. Yeah, to get the effect exactly. But he basically puts a poor dying pigeon out of its misery, in a very sad way.
Yeah, but kind of showing us that this guy will go out, like he misses the bus and gets caught in the rain again. He gets off the bus to kill the pigeon to put it out of its misery.
Right. And this is it's a very big point of the comic too, because like that happens during the daytime. And because he gets off of the bus, it is now way later. He's like, now it's dark. He's been waiting for the bus a long time. Wherever he's going takes a lot longer now. So he gets there late. So when he does finally get to where he's going,
it's a nice house out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice house. You go inside, the doors just open. And he says, I'm looking for Mary Sullivan. So we can tell that he's hasn't been here before.
Right.
But we don't know who Mary Sullivan is.
Nope.
There's no hints. Earlier when he looked at his phone, there was something about a sex trafficking ring still open, but we'd have no knowledge.
Yeah.
What was that?
It says Andrew's accuser disappears. FBI says sex trafficking case open. And that's all.
Yeah.
And there's there's like bars over people's eyes. But we don't know if that was connecting to where he was going. Like they don't get any kind of connection there. But obviously it's relevant to something. When we get inside the house, when he's looking for Mary Sullivan, there's like a picture of a couple, like a nice, like normal couple. He still has blood on his shoes from the pigeon that he killed earlier. So he's leaving like bloody footprints in the house.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Like, yeah, mud and blood into their house.
Yeah.
Dinner, it looks like, was already made. It looks like they had just made it. I mean, it's steaming.
It's
so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still whistling, which means that the water hasn't all evaporated. Oh, the tea kettle is whistling on the stove, which if it's still whistling, there's still water in there.
Right.
So and the food's still steaming. So all of this happened recently.
Exactly.
But there's no one in the house.
Right. Except for two dead bodies that have been brutally murdered and tortured.
With light bulbs and duct tape and nails and Drano.
Yep. All of the things that we saw earlier in the comic. Do a little flashback. The guy realizes that the Drano and the duct tape, holy shit, it was probably that guy that I saw earlier. But yeah, the light bulbs are all like, you know, been tortured.
Embedded in these people's bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very gruesome scene. So he freaks out. He starts like, you know, taking all his fingerprints off of the door handles and everything, runs out of the house.
Doesn't notice the footprints.
Did not notice the footprints everywhere.
Yeah, at all. I mean, I'm not blaming him.
No. But it's a pretty horrible scene. But yeah, runs out of there immediately. And that's the end of the first issue.
It's raining again. And yeah, the last thing we see is his bloody footprint in their walkway.
Yeah.
With his shoe print, you know.
Which we saw earlier in the comic too. So we know it's his shoe print. After he killed the pigeon. So yeah, that's basically the first issue. It's there, you know, you can read this again and again just to pick up more things in it.
Yeah, I read it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, I did too. Which is such a good sign for a good comic, you know. Or a great comic, I would say, actually. Can't wait for the next issue. I think this is gonna be such a big hit for Rick. Really excited for him.
Yeah, super cool. And then we get an image for the next issue. I can't help but think the guy's face looks a lot like that blonde serial killer, but I know this guy's hair is brown, so it's like, but if he's a real serial killer or whatever, an assassin, I don't know what this guy's supposed to be. He's probably changing his look, but it does look like that guy. He kind of is looking But maybe not. Maybe it's just a similar artist.
Yeah. I think that's somebody else. Maybe it's the boss. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a nice coat, though.
He does have a nice coat. Yeah, his hairline's completely different. I think it's somebody else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll find out why he was going there in the first place. What was going on and what... We'll just find out more about this character. I want to know the mystery.
Yeah. And this comic, because it's like, we don't know what their plans are. We know that Rick Remender isn't a miniseries guy. It seems like the ideas he generates, he tries to keep them going. So it's like, what is this? Where is this going to go? Is there going to be 50 issues of Righteous Kill? Who knows how deep the rabbit hole or where? Because Remender is a big, good at, like, when he was at Marvel, I found his events and stuff super good because they're so thought out on the big scale.
Right.
And, you know, all his comics are kind of bigger scale world stuff. So this one's very like small story, but it's also just the first issue. So who knows what sort of rabbit hole this, we don't even know what our guy's name is.
No.
But who knows what sort of rabbit hole he's going to be pulled into, a world of sex trafficking, assassins, serial killers. Who knows?
Yeah.
Really cool.
Really cool. All right. Well, that's all of our comics for this week. There is a ton of news to get into. So let's just get into that right away. Starting with, let's just get into the dumb news first. Rob Zombie is back at it. Oh God. And we finally have some Munsters news from that, which is a movie, not a show. I thought it was going to be a show.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, it's the movie.
And he has done some casting, including casting his own wife again, as Lily Munster. And that I think is horrible because she's a terrible actress. You didn't mind though, right?
Yeah. Well, I expected it. I mean, I would have been blown away if another person had been cast. Like, truly. I mean, I've heard them talk. It's like, they basically, if they're not working together, he doesn't see a reason to make a movie.
But she could have cast her as anybody, like just somebody else. I don't know, just anybody. It's like he wants this movie to fail.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with Sherry Moon. I like her. And I do think she's, at first, her stuff, it was pretty rough. But when I saw her in Three from Hell, which was his last one, I thought she had gotten a lot better.
Maybe she's taking some lessons, some acting lessons.
Hopefully. She, like, Baby, her character in that trilogy, did have some sort of evolution. And she was creepiest in the new one. But I mean, I don't know. Well, we will see. It's also Jeff Daniel Phillips.
Who's Jeff Daniel? I was like, I know who Jeff Daniels is. Daniel Phillips?
So I had to look him up, but I do recognize him from Rob Zombie movies.
Okay.
He was definitely in Three from Hell and got killed. I think, from what I remember, he might be the... He was in the Devil's Rejects.
Okay. So it's just people he knows from all of his other movies are being cast, basically.
Yeah, he generally only works with people that he knows or has worked with previously. I looked him up, though. I was like, who's this guy? Why would he be Herman Munster? I looked him up, though. He's 6'4". He's at least tall enough.
All right. I guess.
And then the guy who's playing Grandpa, I think everyone would kind of recognize this guy.
Yeah.
His name's Daniel Roebuck. I don't know him by name, but when I saw his face, I was like, oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen him in lots of stuff.
Familiar to me. But
yeah.
I don't know. So this is going to be streaming on Peacock. When is it? It is coming out in 1969. And that's not right. 2022. We're going to go back.
Does it?
Time.
Does it take place in 1969?
I don't know, it's in black and white, so maybe.
I hope the movie's in black and white. That'll be cool.
It looks like it's going to be.
That'll be awesome.
All the pictures are in black and white.
I saw he posted a photo of the gang that Herman was in with the switchblades. What was his biker gang or whatever?
Fun.
Super fun. Yeah. I mean, that's just what I want. I want this movie to be hokey fun. I mean, the pinnacle would be if you got something that can sit alongside the Addams Family movies, but that is a tall order.
Next, we have all the DC fandom news. And there's so much of it. First, the Batman trailer came out. That's probably the biggest one out of all of them.
And the best.
It definitely the best. It's coming out, was that March, I think, 2021?
Yeah, 22.
2020, oh yeah, sorry, 2022. I'm going back in time.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Batman last. Let's get the other ones out of the way.
Oh,
it's the best. The Batman one's the best. The other big ones, right? There's the Peacemaker TV show trailer.
Yes.
Then there's the Flash teaser that's not a teaser with an awkward intro.
Yes.
We'll get into that. And then The Rock, also I thought pretty awkward, introducing Black Adam, which looks kind of cool.
Does look kind of cool.
Which what we saw.
Yeah. There wasn't too much that they showed, but there's like a little teaser. And then there's Shazam as well. Which is weird. So there Black Adam's coming out first, right? We'll get into that. And then but they actually showed more Shazam footage than Black Adam.
Oh. And I didn't see the Shazam footage. I missed that.
Yeah. So Shazam is coming out in 2023. Okay. Black Adam's coming out in 2022, but the Shazam footage with Zachary Levi, who's just so endearing. They showed way more footage. So Helen Mirren is going to be the main antagonist for Shazam.
Okay.
Showed all of that footage.
That,
which looks amazing. They all have new costumes. They're like going up into like Olympia, basically. Cool. Doing all of that.
Mr. Mind will be in it, because that was the teaser at the end of the first one.
That's what they said, but It doesn't, I didn't see any, I mean, maybe just because they barely showed any footage, you know, but.
He's really tiny.
He is. He's just a little worm.
He's a caterpillar guy. He could barely see him.
Yeah. But yeah, so Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren are, look like to be the main antagonists.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, we're going to have Lady Gods. So it's Hespera and Calypso are the bad guys, which I was okay, like, hell cool. Yeah, that's so cool.
Because it's called Fury of the Gods.
Fury of the Gods. Right? Yeah.
And I mean, because I didn't know about that news, but I knew that I thought there was going to be one more Shazam movie before he meets Black Adam. Because I'm like, in my head, watching what it seems like Black Adam's going to be.
Yeah.
Encountering that childlike character that he plays, I'm going to be like, I was just like, that's going to be so weird.
That's what they do in the comics.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just going to be so, I mean, it'll be just a tonal thing because it's right. Like Black Adam looks like he's like a slasher movie character. Like he like just electrocutes a guy to death.
Yeah,
you know,
turns into dust, like skulls and then dust. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all we saw. So it's like, that's that dude's vibe. And then he's going to meet the guy who's like, hi, you want to go get a soda?
Yeah. Like, that's why yeah. I love him.
No, I think it'll be great. I really yeah. loved Shazam, actually. That one surprised me the most.
Yeah, Shazam's super fun. Yeah, so basically Shazam's going to be like this big, you know, Battle of the Gods movie. And it's going to be, they kept saying, it's going to be bigger and badder, just like Black Adam said too. It's going to be bigger and badder and I can beat Superman. That's what Rock keeps going around and saying. He's like, Black Adam can kill Superman. Like, you wait. And it's like, oh my God, Rock, like, chill the fuck out. Like, we get it.
He's a wrestler. He's a wrestler and he's playing a heel. He's like, oh, back to being a heel. These calloused hands have worked so hard to bring you this next movie.
Yeah, he's really into that. I follow him on Instagram for whatever reason because it's funny. And that's all he does on Instagram. He's like, look at me working out, preparing for my biggest move ever.
implying the best way to prepare for a movie is to work out instead of, you know, like checking the source material. Mm-hmm. Acting, reading a script, you know,
just working out. That's all you do. And
that's
eating.
What you do.
And his like diet. That's his other thing. The working out and his diet. That's how you prepare for a movie.
to star as a character. Well, for him, yes. Hello, DC fandom. Welcome.
To the Rock's Thunderdome. Oh, wait, that's the other show. I got confused. Yeah.
I hope Black Adam just says one-liners. That's kind of what I'm hoping. I'm hoping it's a bunch of people talking about stuff and then he goes, I don't think so, and then electrocutes a bunch of people.
Probably.
And punches a guy's head off.
Yeah, I mean, I am glad that he is doing something different from his normal stuff, like Jungle Cruise and what's it, Jumanji or whatever, because those are basically the same movies and he's like the same character in it. So at least this will be something different, being a bad guy, because he hasn't really been a bad guy.
Since wrestling.
Yes.
And he was always a better heel than a face. Like, he's a villain to me, because it's like, I think of him bashing Mankind's head with a chair way too many times. Like, I'm like, this guy's fucking scary. Okay. Right. He wears a very nice mask. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, how are you?
To play this role, so as he told us.
Yeah.
He was born to be Black Adam.
Born.
Okay, so that's those two, and let's get into the Flash. Speaking of weird uncomfortableness and born to play roles. Oh God. So yeah, Ezra Miller gets into playing the Flash, and talk about uncomfortableness. Like, I don't think anybody could introduce a movie more weirdly than you think they would have just cut him off like immediately.
Yeah.
Like, no, cut to somebody else. Like, he looks like a serial killer.
Were those live? Is that what that was?
Were live, yeah.
That's the only explanation, because otherwise it's like, that's the best they got. I would be like, let's do that one one more time.
Yeah, just one more time. It was bizarre. It was
very strange and cringy.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand his casting in the first place. If they just couldn't replace him, be like, okay, let's get a different Barry Allen. And I don't know if that's just like my thing with him being in that. There's something about Kevin. I thought that for a while. Do you remember that movie?
Where I didn't see it, but okay. I've heard of it.
Yeah, and I've talked about it before too. But I don't know if that movie just changed him or he's always been like that.
I don't know. I mean, in theory, I don't really mind him as the Flash. We got a few scenes from like the Justice League and stuff, and he plays the motor mouth who can't shut up guy pretty well. And it's like, if that's how you're going to characterize the Flash, that works for me. Like, I mean, we want to care about him. That yeah. will help. And maybe, I mean, if they're going to do the Flashpoint, then it might be his mom being killed or something.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, and I mean the best part of it is returning to Wayne Manor.
Yeah,
not the Wayne Manor we've seen before.
Right? Yeah, so in the comic, right, when he returns, he meets Thomas Wayne as Batman, mm-hmm. and that's the world where Bruce was shot, and Martha Wayne became the Joker, and Thomas Wayne became Batman. And then he enlists Thomas Wayne's help to help him solve whatever has happened with time, because Reverse Flash went back in time, killed his mom. I didn't even know anything about Reverse Flash. That's some weird stuff. I hope the other Barry Allen we see is not like multiverse Barry Allen, but is a different dude from the future who got plastic surgery to look like him. Because that's reverse. I did not know that was Reverse Flash's like origin. And I was like, that's really weird.
Yeah. Flashpoint is crazy. It's a crazy story. and super fun. And I hope they do it right too. I mean, obviously they're going to change a few things, including what they're doing with.
Yeah. Mike. No Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
No Thomas Wayne.
Instead,
but we're getting.
Yeah.
Go.
89.
You reveal it.
I know. 1989 Batman. So Michael Keaton, Bruce Wayne, which we saw in the trailer, where we just see his cowl, and then we see the Flash almost revealing. They don't show it yet, but the Batmobile. Which is so exciting for all of us who grew up in the 80s and watched that as kids.
Oh, and then of course they're gonna play. Whatever it costs, they'll get that Danny Elfman score back to be able to play the.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you'll get that one triumphant moment. And I mean, they're betting on it because that movie was like the most huge ever, you know?
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah. So that was super fun. Really, really excited for that one. We also got the Peacemaker trailer. This is probably the most fun trailer out of all of them. Just like the Suicide Squad movie. We knew John Cena survived at the end. We see Vigilante in there. And I was like, God damn it. Like, I had so many copies of that stupid Vigilante book, and where they all went to like the dollar bins or whatever, because no one ever bought them. And now, of course,
that's what James Gunn does, you know?
I know.
I'm sure all your Taserface issues sold pretty quickly, silently as well, you know? It's like, he loves taking those obscure characters. And honestly, I want someone to be doing that. Because if you leave it up to the suits, they're never going to be like, yeah, the D-listers. But it's like, when you have a D-lister, you can do whatever the hell you want with Vigilante.
Yeah.
You know, let's have fun. And that's why they were able to, you know, kill Shatterstar in Deadpool 2 or whatever. You know, it's like, it's fun when you can play around with these B, C, D list characters, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be really fun to see who he brings into the show. It's going to be like the fucking weirdest characters that have been in like one shots and, you know.
Yeah.
70s books or even like 60s books that we've only seen like once or twice. I can't wait to see.
I can't wait for he jumps back to Marvel, bring in NFL Super Pro. Bring him into the MCU. Yeah.
Yeah. So that show starts on HBO Max on January 13th, 2022. So that's pretty soon.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Probably soonest of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And looks hilarious and violent.
So. And then lastly, we have...
Are we already at Batman?
Or was there more stuff? There was some video game stuff, which I didn't really watch.
No. Oh, well, okay. There is a couple other things. There is the Batgirl movie. Yeah. Which we didn't... There's no trailer for that yet, but they did show some concept art, which looks really, really cool. And that's not going to be in theaters. They're just doing it direct to HBO Max.
Why they got to play the women this way.
I know, right? I was really pissed off about that. I was like, come
Shang-Chi, Shang-Chi is forced into the theaters, but Black Widow goes to home. Mulan goes to home. Batgirl goes to home. But we'll wait for the other ones.
Fucking shitty, man. Just
it's very strange.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
And that's not going to be till like late next year, maybe even early 2023. Obviously, they have just like started shooting, I think. So there's not anything available for that yet.
Is this going to connect maybe to the other stuff? Like
I think
Birds of Prey?
Yeah, well, it's the Birds of Prey writer and director.
Okay, so...
Yeah. So it might, but unlike Batman is its complete own separate world, they're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad. I'm glad that they're deciding that they can have their main continuity and another continuity. And if they have to explain it with a multiverse, sure. Yeah. Just as long as it's like, you can't do the Marvel thing. It won't work.
No. <You know? laughs> It won't.
It's not gonna work, so do your own thing. And it's like, that's why.
And they could, though, with Flashpoint. That could be the
Pattinson can meet Ben Affleck, can meet all them later down the line. You know, that's not gonna happen now. That'd be a big mistake.
Let's just take Ben Affleck out of the equation completely.
But they can.
I know they can.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. So let's get into the most anticipated trailer of all. The Batman finally got his trailer. Watching that same teaser for feels like a year and a half now.
I am vengeance.
So yeah, we do get the same kind of voice that we've been getting for the last 10 years from Robert Pattinson.
It seems like the actors have to play it like a monster or something for them to justify it. I guess
Batman kind of has to change his voice, right? Because otherwise they're like, hey, it's Bruce Wayne. Like when he's like, I'm Batman. And you're like, that's not scary.
But see, I would love if Batman was almost their real voice. And then Bruce Wayne had a like, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Like a fakeness to him.
He has like a radio voice. He's like
because
radio personality.
Maybe Bruce Wayne here in the morning.
Maybe he does play it like that.
Yeah.
That would be so funny.
We saw everyone though. So it starts with like we see the Riddler. We don't see his face, but it's definitely Paul Dano. Mm-hmm. He gets arrested at a diner. He lets himself get arrested at a diner.
Yes.
Batman villains love letting themselves get arrested.
Oh, yeah. Because then they just get to escape. There's always some nefarious thing they're going to do after they're getting arrested, whether it's like killing a bunch of police officers or whatever. There's always a reason. I thought the coolest like thing is fucking Colin Farrell as the Penguin.
Crazy.
He's crazy. It's crazy. Like you can't recognize him at all. Like,
no.
Not as monstrous looking as Danny DeVito, but like he is completely transformed. And he's he looks like his sounds great. Like he just I totally buy it.
He could totally be a Dick Tracy villain.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Like he's got the pockmarked, just annihilated, like old gangster dude face that you would see like Al Capone or whatever, just like, just a gnarly mug, you know, which I love that that's the angle they went with the Penguin. Cause
yeah,
I don't know where else you go.
Yeah.
You know, him being too fancy. I never understood that like version of him.
Like the 60s,
but I also,
Silver Age version.
Yeah, it never resonated with me, but that's because I saw Danny DeVito bite a guy's nose off when I was like 5 years old. So it kind of jaded me.
Well, he's wearing like the Penguin suit, you know, like it's kind of his thing.
Yeah. No. I mean, I like the idea of a man who is very low class,
right,
who wears incredibly expensive stuff. And then if you're like, you're just a little low class nothing, he would kill you. Because he's like, you think I'm low class? Like, that is how, that makes sense to me as the Penguin. The guy who wears the wealth to hide who he actually is.
Yeah. And we also get to see Catwoman finally in her Catwoman garb.
I can take care of myself.
Yeah. And she looks great.
Absolutely.
Ew. Sorry, dog issues here.
Yeah, well, because we're talking about cats.
Yeah, I know. She's very upset about the cat talk here. yeah, and I'm excited about her. Like, finally get to see a new Catwoman, and hopefully she will fill her boots appropriately. And I've liked Zoe Kravitz a lot in everything I've seen her in so far. So they just have to have that chemistry is what it is. And
from
the interviews I've read so far, it seems like they really clicked. So, and go ahead.
I was thinking Batman Year One. Every time I saw her, I was like, this is that Selena.
Yeah.
Like, at least in the vibe. Like, just in general, this might feel the most like a comic of any of the movies. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like gothic 70s Batman, but also like post Frank Miller sort of rainy city, rainy Gotham.
Yeah, it looks really like gothic noir-ish.
Yeah, you know?
And like the architecture looks right. So it's kind of like a mix between like Tim Burton and Christopher Nolan. Like, it looks like it had a good balance between the two from what we can see so far.
Yeah.
I really liked his suit.
Yeah,
I like the way like the bullets are like flying off of it, like
he gets really shot cool. Like so many times and does not care, because he says the very important line, I think, which we know this about Batman, but he's never come out and say it. Yeah. I don't care what, or it's Alfred, Andy Serkis, which is cool, we got to see him caring about Bruce, like, I don't want you to get hurt, and he says, I don't care what happens to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is Batman.
Yep.
He just never has said that.
Right.
That guy's like, has a death wish.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so it's like, if he, he's getting shot like 100 times, doesn't care.
Yeah. And we also see like the way he's like mapping out everything like a detective thing, which is what we've kind of been missing from him in the last movies. And I think he's going to have to do a lot of that with like the Riddler, and, you know, it's kind of what we didn't get to see with the Riddler with Jim Carrey, obviously, because that movie sucks. It's just him being all like zany and like, ugh. And instead we'll actually get to see the Riddler doing what the Riddler does best, is, you know, play with the detectives and Gotham PD. And so Batman's going to actually have to figure out riddles.
Because he's his smartest villain.
I
would think. I can't think of anyone who would be more intelligent than Edward Nigma, or whatever they're going to change his name to. But
you think they're going to change his name?
I thought you told me that someone told me that they changed his name. I don't know,
they don't change his name unless he's using like an alias or something.
Sure, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's the one who, the reason he comes to Gotham is because Batman has the keenest mind that he knows of, and he wants a challenge.
Right.
He wants someone to challenge him. So he creates all these problems to just see if this Batman guy can solve it.
Right. Wow. Well, I'm excited. I cannot wait to see it. And looks like,
yeah,
we said what, March? That's when it's coming out, March 2022?
I think so.
Yeah.
Matt Reeves.
Yeah, March 4th, 2022. That does not seem far away anymore.
No.
It was so long. You think
it's going to be a trilogy?
It is. They already said it's confirmed for two more movies.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see for the least the second and well, or the third, whatever, some new villains that we haven't seen before.
You yes, know, that'd like, be good.
Yeah, like Man-Bat, I think would be great in this like setting.
That'd be crazy.
Wouldn't that be awesome though? Like we haven't seen Man-Bat in a movie and he's a great villain.
And make, I do hope like the way I see it, the only way they could do it, because Christopher Nolan was so forcing it into the realism, which maybe is what we needed at the time. That's fine.
Yeah.
But he, I remember hearing him, a quote from him specifically, like maybe as Dark Knight or before Dark Knight, he was like, Mr. Freeze ain't showing up. Okay. Right. Like this won't, that doesn't make sense in this world. Mm-hmm. But with this new one, this seems like it's going to back away from the realism a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like make, that doesn't need to be our main focus. People can buy why Batman would work. So maybe we could see a Mr. Freeze or a Man-Bat mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah.
It's just, I would love that.
Yeah. I mean, there's some great, and we haven't seen like Killer Croc. Like, he, I mean, he's always a good, you know, side villain. I would love Clayface.
He's like the Rhino.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Clayface is great too. Cause I mean, you could use him in any storyline and he has such a good backstory, you know, especially in a setting again, like this and like a neo-noir setting. He has that great like movie star, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then all you have to do is just have him change his face all the time and he can be
anybody. Make him like, you make him be like Darkman.
Exactly.
Don't make him a man who's literally made of clay who can turn into a table. That doesn't make sense.
No.
Have him have a scarred face. And he has some sort of way he molds masks for himself that are just so effective or something.
Yeah. Who knows? He has that, well, like in the animated series, you know, he has that like mush face to begin with.
Yeah.
He starts molding his face like with his fingers and do something like that. And we haven't seen that yet. So it would be so cool.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. So Batman has like the best rogue gallery. You have so many options. Stop using the same villains over and over and over again. Like, I am excited to see the Riddler be used correctly. But we've seen a good Penguin already. Like, I'm sure Colin Farrell will play this great. But in the next movies, bring us something new, you know?
Yeah.
We don't need to see Scarecrow again. I love Scarecrow. He's one of my favorite villains. But I am almost positive they're probably going to do him again as well.
Probably it would fit the vibe that they're showing us, but who knows, you could get I know he was in one of the Birds of Prey movies, but like black mask would make sense. I mean, it would all fit in that like sort of crime world, but they've said that they want to lean into the horror and the mystery, so there's a lot of stuff in there that, I mean, you could actually have Zaz be a character that he's hunting. You know, that wouldn't make sense as the main villain, but someone, he could be part of a plot, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they could use Long Halloween as, and you know, one of these as well.
Justice for Crazy Quilt.
Yeah, justice for Crazy Quilt.
let's get him. He's never been done.
Oh my God.
Paste Pot Pete. Oh wait, that's Marvel. Damn it.
Nope. All right, everyone. I think that's gonna do it for us here. Robert, you have some things to plug. Let's do it.
Yeah. So I think I've talked about it before, my dear listeners, but my comic All Star Action is out. It's available in Escapist Comics, soon to be other stores around the area and maybe across the country. We'll see. It's not yet available to buy online, but I'll plug that when it is. You'll be able to order it from me. But if you're in the area in the East Bay, you can grab a copy at Escapist Comics. I'll restock them as much as I can.
Yay.
Thank thanks to you, the people who already bought some, appreciate it. But yeah, it's really exciting.
You can buy it online from us.
Oh, yes, you could do that.
You could do
that. Give us a call.
Yeah.
We'll mail it to you.
We will. Or you can email us at or hello@escapistcomics.com and we will ship that order for you.
Yeah. That's Institution Comics All-Star Action coming at you. Oh, yeah.
You can follow us. I'm at Jessa Balboni on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, all of those things. Where can I find you, Robert?
I'm at Robert Neguesco. That's at Robert _NEGOESCO. Mostly Instagram. I have a Twitter, but I don't really use it. But Instagram every day.
I'm, you know, once in a while. I'll pop in there. But definitely follow me on Instagram. You can also follow us on the store's accounts at Escapist Comics everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please message us and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
We will respond to you. We like comments.
Yeah. Interaction.
Interactions are good. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
Remember,
escape into comics.
Thanks so much, guys. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Bye. Bye-bye.